On this week's episode, we talk about the Oscar-nominated movie from Netflix, Mank, starring Gary Oldman. What's the name of the girl?
Lily Collins, Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah, and other people.
Yeah. And other pop culture news of the week. Spoiler alert!
Yes. Not so much, because it's based on a true story, and like Orson Welles' movie title, it's like, that's all true. So, yeah. So, Mank, from Netflix, a lot of nominations for the Oscars. Understandable. We watched the movie.
Yeah.
And we liked the movie. It's really well done. David Fincher, again, doing a Oscar awards worthy movie, but also entertaining and fun. And the story tells the story, and it does in a very, very beautiful way, because it keeps using flashbacks in a way that I don't see the movie working in a different way.
No, you know? I was thinking about that yesterday, and, and this one, this is an excellent use of flashback, and you're right, it would not have worked without.
And they also use subtitles, not subtitles, what they call, lower thirds, cards, they use like indications, text indications in the bottom, just as in a movie script, you know, exterior, location, time of the day, and whatever, you know? So, and year, date, day and year, day, month and year, right?
Usually it was just a year.
It was just a year. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and uses that, but in a very, very necessary way, you know?
Yes.
It's not like garbage, like, you know, Bob versus Abishola, that they're going to cut from one scene, one scene from one location, which is not location, it's all a studio, but they're going to cut from one scenario to the other, and it was like, a little bit later.
Another day.
Or worse, like the same day later. It's like, I don't know. Anyways.
Yeah. Basically, these are all devices used in movies that are often done poorly, but in this one, it was done masterfully, and they were absolutely necessary.
Yes, yeah.
It would not have worked.
Yeah. Without. No, whatever they use in the movie, they use because it's needed for the audience and for the movie to work, and it's not overdone. Anyways, using all that, it basically tells the story of one, what's his first name?
Herman.
Herman Mankiewicz, nicknamed by himself and by pretty much everybody else as Mank, the title character of the movie. He was a screenwriter. So the movie goes from when he was writing scripts for MGM, and it goes all the way to when he meets, when he's invited by this golden boy named Orson Welles, a 24-year-old, coming from theater, coming from radio, but very successful, but now it would do movies. And so he hires him to do a script for his first movie that he will direct, that he will produce, he will act, and he would, you know, he was a genuine author concerning movies, which back during that time, it was not the case. It was producers Hollywood. It was like the producer, he would have creative creative control of the piece. And there's even a joke in the beginning in the writer's room, when the writers go meet with the producer, they talk about script, a potential script, they have a movie that's coming, and they say, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and it's director's proof.
Yeah.
You know, like they saying that, like, a director cannot screw this up. because the producers were basically the ones, the maestro behind everything, which changed in the 60s, you know, a new wave of Hollywood, you know, Coppola, Spielberg, De Palma, Lucas, all those people. But back in the day, it was producers, which is kind of, you know, these days you have some similarities, you know.
Yes.
You have Kevin Feige. Marvel and
Kathleen Kennedy.
Lucasfilm, Disney itself, you know. So, kind of going back to that. But anyway, so back in the day, producers Hollywood, he was writing for MGM, and he meets with Louis B. Mayer, one of the heads of MGM.
And they do a great job of explaining and helping the viewer understand, even if you don't know a whole lot about like Hollywood's history. They do a great job of establishing all that and showing how Hollywood worked at that time, just with the conversations and things like that happening. So, although I do think you need to watch Citizen Kane before you watch this movie, I don't think you need to know a whole lot about Hollywood to appreciate
it. Yeah. This works as a companion, you might say, or a behind the scenes of Citizen Kane. More specifically about the writing, because it was solely about the writer and writing process.
Yeah.
So this guy is working there, and then in the beginning of the movie, he arrives at this ranch, like with both legs broken, the back broken. He got involved into an accident. But Orson Welles wants his script in 90 days, but then suddenly changed to 60 days. Anyways, he has to run to write, and he does write it. But the interesting thing is, everything we see on Citizen Kane, we see on this movie, because he wrote Citizen Kane, and if you don't know, you think it's a work of fiction, you know, coming from the mind of a writer. He actually wrote into the script of Citizen Kane stuff from his life in Hollywood, you know.
Specifically his experiences with William Hurst and Marion Davies?
Yeah.
What her name? Mm. Yeah. So the flashback, so really the two time frames we're seeing, we're at 1940 when he's writing the script at the ranch and he's all broken and he's got Lily Collins as his secretary. She's like dictating to her and she writes everything.
Scribe,
yeah, that's a better word. And then flashbacks between like 1930 and 1937, I don't remember the exact dates, when he's like an established screenwriter at MGM and meeting with like Louis Mayer and meeting Hearst and developing this friendship with Marion Davies and all the rest. And so as he's writing the script, we see the flashbacks that are the inspiration for
the script. And you see things like Shangri-La, you see the big mansion with exotic animals, the lady, the beautiful lady that lives there to quote serve her man, you know, it's same character, same stuff. And so that's very interesting, because if you didn't live there, you would know. And if you didn't see the movie, you might not know either. But to a point that he writes the whole story, and there's a lot of things that happen throughout the movie in Hollywood that he incorporates into the movie. And he thinks he's done, but he writes it. Mm-hmm. And when it's done, he sent to people to read. And his brother, that was also a writer, tells him that's your best work yet. It's the best thing you ever wrote.
Yeah.
But anyways, other people read and everybody goes there and tries to stop him, because he's like, he's kind of exposing.
Yeah, like you can't go after Hearst like that.
Yeah.
And isn't it almost everyone has the same reaction? Like, first of all, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is your best work. This is literature. This is wonderful. But you can't do this.
Yeah.
Marion Davies shows up, who's played by Amanda Seyfried. She shows up and they have a nice little conversation, like if you do this, I'll forgive you, and he says, and if I stop you, you'll forgive me, or it. But yeah, everyone has that same reaction. But I thought that was interesting too. Another thing they show about like Hollywood, that he expressed a few times in the flashbacks this frustration between, like, this tension between, like, literature versus movies, and this idea that movies could be literature, but they just weren't. They were, like, monsters and cowboys and Indians and smoke machines and stuff, which has its place. But this one was really, like, literature on film, and everyone, yeah, anyway, that seemed to be part of why everyone loved the screenplay.
Yeah.
I went off on a tangent.
There's that, there's one scene when he goes, he's taking his brother to get a job at MGM.
Yeah.
And they meet Louis B. Mayer. And he goes this walk and talk and speech that is very interesting. It's very peculiar and reflective of how Mayer was and how MGM was big, and it's still around. It's still big.
Yeah.
But he's like he's telling this guy, like, you here we are a family. They say the MGM have more stars in the sky. It's like, no, we only have one star. It's Leo the Lion. Everybody here is like, if they do what they, mm-hmm. they've been told that they do what they need to do, they're going to stay, they're going to work together, they're going to do it together. If not, out. If you have any problem, you come to Papa. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's like, we're in the business of selling memories. You know, the people pay.
Yeah.
Yeah. People pay, and they appreciate and the emotion. And I make movies movies are good. They kind of touch me here, and here. it's very, very, yeah. very interesting. It's very fun. Which is what cinema was supposed to be from the beginning. Mm-hmm. This is for audiences. If you're gonna do a message, you have to incorporate in a way that people will not feel they're being thought or preached. Because if people be feeling they're being preached, it's like, I'm not paying to be preached. I'm paying to be entertained, to be touched here, and here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that was very interesting. But it comes to a point, doing the story, the flashback story before the writing, that comes an election,
yes.
in Hollywood, in L.A., and one of the candidates is a Democrat, borderline, if not communist, socialist, and
Upton Sinclair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hollywood is like, Louis B. Mayer in specific, is like, no, we have to campaign for the Republican. We have to help the Republican. You don't want these communists. In a dinner scene, they talk about how the situation in Germany and Hitler. So this is like before the war.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, so they talk about fascism and Nazism. Nazism, yeah. And they also talk about communism and socialism. And Mank is kind of like, yeah, I don't know. There's more to it, you know. But there's, like, on the conversation, Louis B. Mayer tells Mank that's like, this guy talking about, what's his bucket?
Upton Sinclair?
No, the rich guy, the top. The
oh, Hearst? Kid.
Yeah, it's talking about Hearst. It's like, this guy paid half of your salary, and he likes you because of the way you speak. Not because of your right. So you watch, and that's like, a Mank is risking a career because he's going against the powerful in Hollywood with this new guy that technically not have his back, because you know, a 24-year that just arrived is working for a radio company making a movie.
Yeah.
But and even the fact that Wells hired him to make a movie, so he would not take credit. He would be like a ghostwriter. He would not get his name in the movie, but everybody would know there was him.
Yeah,
so he would risk everything, and even get proper credit for the work, if the work was good, which turned out to be excellent.
Yeah.
But what else?
He has kind of a crisis of conscience, something that kind of precedes his fall from grace and also his own, like, personal crisis that leads him to this car accident and writing this script for Orson Welles is this whole experience with the election around Upton Sinclair, who, fun fact, is played by Bill Nye, as in Bill Nye the Science Guy. So, anyway, he And I'm not sure, like, what kind of fact-checking we do, but at some point, you know, MGM is, like, really into this Republican candidate, and they're not having a whole lot of progress, like supporting him. And Mank says, well, look, you guys make people believe that King Kong is 10 stories tall. You're not even trying with your candidate. And so then they... Like, that little comment, like, plants a seed, and so then they start this whole, like, all these newsreels that look real but are actually, like, staged and scripted about people talking about why they support this Republican candidate, and he eventually gets elected in a landslide, and Mank realizes he was part of this, like, he had inspired this horrible thing that he didn't believe in. Anyway...
It's very interesting, you know, say like, mass media, and movies were mass media back then.
Yes.
Because, you know, even during the Depression, a lot of people go to the movies, you know, to get out of the real world.
And not just the movie itself, but you'd see, like, these newsreels beforehand. Like, there's a lot more than just entertainment happening in the movie theater.
So it was mass media. It was mass media for you know, for changing... electoral results, meaning helping to change the populace opinions and minds. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting because what happens today with social media, with television, it's not new. It goes all the way back.
Yeah,
and it depends on who's in the top. And back then it was Louis B. Mayer was Republican, so he used that on his
papers. The parallels were not subtle, though.
What do you mean?
Like the parallels between then and now.
Oh yeah.
Using media to persuade and and a lot of the rhetoric, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Even the subtle defense of communism, no, socialism. It's like, oh, but they're not. There's difference between communism and socialism. It's like, yeah, whatever. Anyways, all that culminates with Mank writing his masterpiece, Citizen Kane. He writes the whole thing, sends to Wells, and Wells is like, okay, we have to meet and do some rewriting, but this is perfect. This is really good. And when Wells arrives, Mank says, Wells tells him, oh, we're going to get this, we're going to get this amount of money, and this and then that. But Mank says, I want credit for it. It's the best thing I ever wrote. And then Wells kind of like, what? No, you were hired.
You're insane.
Yeah, you were hired to do this. You know how it works. And then it's like, what can I do? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's even those classic, you're never going to work in this town again. You know, the usual. Anyways, so Wells ends up leaving. And Mank stays with his secretary, aide, scribe, because he has no condition to write. He dictates, and she transcribes. She's writing it down, and then she types and gets everything ready on the format, the proper format. So then it cuts to the Oscars ceremony, the Biltmore Hotel. And Citizen Kane, that was nominated for 9 awards, win the best writing, best screenplay, and Orson Welles
and
Herman Mankiewicz, and then it cuts to Brazil.
Just the audio, yeah.
Yeah, audio soundbite of Orson Welles shooting a movie in Brazil. That's all true. And he's commenting about the Oscars, and it's like, so the movie got nominated for so many, but won for writing, and then they ask, what was the question? I can't remember the question, but I can't remember the question. Anyways,
sorry.
But he's like, Mank, you can kiss my hat or something like that.
Yes,
he answers. But both comment on how the industry is and how the industry was. And then cuts to Mank finally receiving... But none of them went to the Oscars, but then it cuts to Mank receiving his award. And it's like, people ask me what I would say. And I would say... because they asked him about Wells having credit for the writing, which, you know, the movie is about Mank writing the movie. And Wells, yeah. Maybe Wells changed a bit or so, but nothing very drastically.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it ends with Mank accepting his, when he gets his Oscar and he makes some comments. He says, like, I'm very happy to receive this Oscar, or to receive this award in the same manner in which I wrote the screenplay. That is to say, without Orson Welles.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So it makes it very clear.
Like, yeah, yes, yes.
I did this.
Yeah. No, I mean, even if Welles changed a little bit, because he bought the script. So in the end, he could change. And that was the credit of Orson, of Welles as a director. He had freedom of creativity. It was not like a producer's director that was like, oh, yeah. You do this, jump, you know. So he might change a little bit, but nothing really substantial to change, you know, the main thing that Mank did. And so, yeah, both give answers. I can't remember the other question, but it's like it's they both show Hollywood, and you know, that's how it is, that's how business is, or something like that. I think it's something like that Wells says. And yeah, and that's it. The movie was shot completely in black and white.
Yeah.
And even though the photographer, the stage, and the set design was like done very colorful and very beautifully, but in the end it was shot in black and white. What else?
Yeah.
The credits in the beginning of very old old Hollywood.
The whole thing really is, and that's part of why I think you need to not just be familiar with the story of Citizen Kane, but to actually watch it. Because this whole movie is done in the style of Citizen Kane. Like, the credits, a lot of the cinematography. There are a lot of shots that just, like, by themselves, as a piece of art, I just thought were so beautiful. Like, there's this scene when Wells comes to see Mank in the hospital. And we're focused on Mank, and then you can see through his doorway and into the hall, and this, like, shadowy figure comes. You can see just this sort of odd, out-of-focus silhouette as he comes down the hall in black, and it comes
which there's more there's image, but there's more to it. He comes and says something like, I just came from the Heart of Darkness.
Yes.
Because he was working on the Heart of Darkness.
Yeah, it's just this great moment. There's another shot where they're flipping coins, and so where the camera's like on the floor. It's this weird angle, but it's so cool because that we're like close up on this coin spinning on the floor, but you can also see, like, kind of, you're also looking up at the people watching the coin, and
yeah.
Lots of shots that are set up in a very cool way that's very, at once it seems like very realistic, but also very carefully composed and constructed. My favorite thing about Citizen Kane is the cinematography, and same thing about this movie. It's just so well done and so interesting in and of itself. Like, even just outside of the story and the plot of the movie, it's just really cool to look at.
It's overall is really good, and that's why it's got so many nominations, so many winnings everywhere.
Yeah, well deserved.
And I think so far it's my favorite. Even though I don't think it has much chance against, you know, Nomadland is winning pretty much everything. Sorkin might win for
Chicago 7 has won.
We were talking about, like, preachy and stuff. I feel like Sorkin always does that on TV. He not always does that on movies, but on this one, he was like, he had the. He was free to do it, and he did. And this one, no, I thought it was historical. It was, like, technically well done. The actors do a terrific job.
Yeah.
Not only Gary Oldman, but Amanda Seyfried, or Siegfried, whatever.
Lily Collins.
Lily Collins. The guy that does Wells. I don't know his name.
Tuppence Middleton.
What's the name of the guy that does Wells?
Oh, no. Tuppence Middleton is Mankiewicz's wife.
Oh, Wells, yeah, she's a very interesting character.
Yeah,
she's not a poor character, but she does really well.
Tom Burke is Orson Welles.
Of course. He's in The Crown. He's what's his bucket?
Dazzle.
Yeah. He's Dazzle.
Yeah.
Yeah, Razzle Dazzle.
Which we definitely didn't just see on IMDb.
No, I remember him for something. Totally I can't remember what was it, but I remember him for something.
I didn't
picture him as well as back then, but it worked just
yeah.
great. So yeah, great movie. It's mm-hmm. on Netflix.
And in some theaters.
And in some theaters, we saw in the theater. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Mank. Yeah, go see it.
It was great. All right.
Let's go to the news.
Okay, let's stick with Netflix for a minute. Bridgerton, the Shonda Rhimes period drama, is doing great and has been renewed for seasons 3 and 4.
Yeah. Season 2 not even came out yet, and they already got renewed for season 3 and 4.
So,
good.
Good for them. Yeah. We need to actually finish watching it
yes.
at some point.
Also from Netflix, mm-hmm. Castlevania got its finale announced with season 4, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they have plans to do spin-offs and other shows,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's a great show. I watch season 1. It's short. It's animation and it's short. I watched season 1. I was like, this is good. It starts like super weird. But again, it's about Castlevania, so mm-hmm. it has to be weird. And but then you start seeing classic characters like Trevor Belmont and Alucard and the monks. It's pretty fun, pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Usually
on.
Very well done.
Okay. Well, yeah. I would hope so. With animation, I feel like there's no excuse.
It's like Japanese style.
Mm.
So, yeah. There's rumors, and I mean, not rumors. It's actually official. They're going to do Assassin's Creed in the same style.
I approve of that decision.
Japanese animation style.
Yeah. Okay.
Heavily inspired.
Yeah.
Probably everyone. Yeah.
All right. Well. Chelsea approves of the out. So the last season 4, I guess, is going to premiere May 13th.
Yes.
Okay, let's stick with streaming for a minute. Amazon is going all out on their Lord of the Rings series, which worked for Peter Jackson, so I suspect it's going to work for them, but $465 million has gone into this series.
So
that is a large number.
The cast, you know, I think they announced some of the cast, you know. It's not a lot of people
mm-hmm.
famous. So, they're not spending that money on actors so far.
No.
They might still announce big names.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's a lot more they can use on the special effects, locations, costumes.
Yes.
Scope, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. World building. Okay.
It's going to be fun.
It will be fun. It will be very fun. And it seems like they are back in New Zealand doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a New Zealand some
oh,
official,
have,
whatever that means.
They have to go. That's
the
worst
television series ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's heartening because they could do... I mean, there's so much...
And that's the first
you
season.
You could do it in California and, or Georgia or whatever and, like, you know, spruce it up with effects or whatever or in a studio.
No, but Mount Doom, Lonely Mountain, Mirkwood...
But filming, yes, on location in New Zealand, yeah. In New Zealand. I mean Middle Earth. I mean, wait, what is that place? I don't know.
Anyways, and that's the amount of money for first season they committed for mm-hmm. at least 5, I think. I can't remember. It's like a billion. Maybe it's only 2 seasons. But, you know, for starters,
mm-hmm.
if you make it, people will watch, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, but I might as well announce they're not going to do the video game. They had announced in 2019, they had announced an MMORPG based on Lord of the Rings, but they said no.
Which is too bad, because there's so many games I'd be like, yes, I'll play that, and I never do. But I think that would have been cool and such a great like spinoff from...
And the
from a
rights.
Show, like,
and if
you watch the show, now you can just go be in that world.
Yeah, and if they own the rights, they could make a game, like, to fill the gaps a little bit before.
Sure.
You're never gonna go after, because that would spoil, mm-hmm. but you could go a lot before.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot you could do. Well, that's too bad. I'll still watch the heck out of the series. Okay, more bad news. A couple of theater chains are closing permanently. Arclight and Pacific.
Yeah.
Are done.
Arclight it was a delightful one. It's like I've been to one a couple times in LA. And I went to see one of the movies I saw. It was like Man of Steel. Mm. And then we go to your seats, you know. It's like just like a regular theater. But they have like a host. So excited. Yeah. Welcome, guys. Like when everybody is set like so a couple seconds. Like, welcome, guys, to Arclight Syndrome, whatever. Mm-hmm. Gonna watch this movie. And then it gives, you know, the usual instructions that they have PowerPoints now. It's a person.
Yeah.
And it was different. Aww. It was fun. And I think it's the one that they usually go, it's like when a celebrity goes to a premiere. It's like the one that they used to pop was that one that was like Hollywood Boulevard or behind Ventura. I can't remember. Anyways, Arclight, like very fancy, very classy. Theaters, and they would do like special things. I remember one of the last ones I heard was for Downton Abbey. They had the entire floor Downton Abbey-fied, so people would go and they would be in Downton Abbey right. That's before so the movie.
Cool.
And they would do all sorts of things like that. Unfortunately, they're going out of business. They own the Cinodrome, this like old, really old theater in LA. But that one is going down as well.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
COVID. It's just because of that. There's no other reasons. Like, COVID is hitting the industry. And
no. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go over to Marvel for a minute. Alfred Molina, the great Doc Ock, has confirmed that he is going to be in Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's a long rumor that he would be on, so it's confirmed. So it strengthens the rumor that Tobey Maguire will be on. And the movie is directed by Sam Raimi. No, it's not. Doctor Strange is directed by Sam Raimi, right? Yeah. Anyways, but they might bring Tobey Maguire as well. Who knows? We'll see. There's rumors that will be a fourth Spider-Man.
Whoa.
With Tobey Maguire. Mm. So, yeah.
Interesting.
We'll see. Marvel, you never know. It could be, you know, it could be a witch that nobody cares. It could be, are we friends? Let's fix a boat. Could be Mephisto. You know. Yeah.
One thing we do know is that Doctor Strange 2 has wrapped on filming, so now they're in post, and so that means eventually we will get to see that movie.
Yeah, maybe Mephisto will be on this one.
Maybe. I've seen strange.
I read this rumor yesterday. There's like there's like a lot of rumors that they might use Pacino as Mephisto. It's like,
oh,
okay, he was a good devil and Devil's Advocate.
It's kind of a big name to pull for.
Yeah, Marvel. Huh. It's not. What was the biggest name Marvel did so far? They didn't, right? They're gonna do it for the new Thor. They're gonna have Russell Crowe. They're gonna have apparently Christian Bale. Of course, Natalie Portman's award-winning actress.
Interesting. All right.
DC had De Niro, and just to mention one. Anyways.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go over to DC, actually. So, Legends of Tomorrow is losing Dominic Purcell.
Yeah, apparently there's like some behind the scenes, backstage issues.
Would you say things were getting heated?
He says the actors are the best. He's like very, very honored to work with them, but the people behind the actors, they don't, you know, give them... They take them for granted. They don't give them the value they should be given. They're working hard, but, you know, the suits, you know, producers. You know, you have the people that create and people behind them. And I was like, great, harder, great, better. Yeah.
That's too bad, because honestly, I feel like Legends of Tomorrow it's one of the CW Arrowverse shows that is staying interesting.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is just inherent to the story and what they do.
It's like, interesting because it's staying interesting, but at the same time, it keeps changing.
It does, but they've managed to keep it interesting. Whereas with, like, and I say this with a great deal of love and respect for Arrow and Flash and Supergirl and these other ones, like, they were good, but then, oh my gosh, there's, like, whole seasons where it's just, like, boring.
Yeah,
it feels like we're rehashing the same storylines. Mm-hmm. And whereas Legends has done a good job of keeping, finding that balance between, like, bigger story arcs and bigger character development, changing up the cast, and having, like, good Monster of the Week type stuff. Like, it's stayed a really engaging show. And I don't need every show to be funny, but they've managed to stay, they have the humor going for them, but also just really engaging stories, which the other shows haven't always been super successful with.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
No, it definitely feels, mm-hmm. is a feel good show. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The plot twists are, like, compelling. Mm-hmm. You know, when some of the other shows, like Arrow, it came to a moment, and I was like, oh, it's okay, so there's, like, a flashbacks again. Oh, no, it's like, he's back to the other. So it felt like it was rehashing, it was repeating. Mm-hmm. When some other shows, like Supergirl, you know, it doesn't go anywhere. You know, it's like, oh, she is my enemy, but she's my friend. Let's go back. And keeps, like, you know, recycling.
Yeah, like rehashing the same issues.
Same thing with, mm-hmm. we just started the second season of Batwoman, you know, is the sister again.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it's, but no, the legend that keeps changing, even the cast, it changed, like, the original team, and then changed a little bit, and changed a little bit, and keeps changing. And now, unfortunately, gonna change a bit more because Rory, what's his bucket? Dominic Purcell, mm-hmm. is gonna leave.
Yeah, and he'll be missed. I loved his character, and I thought he was a good.
It was a good part of the team.
Yeah,
because from this, like, really
easy gig too. He really just showed up and was like, ugh.
This really caricat bad guy.
Yeah,
it became this lovable, grumpy. Woman's writer.
I know, romance novelist, and, like, good stuff.
I'm not game to making villains lovable or not lovable to feel empathy. Just like,
sure,
they have reasons, but they did a terrific job.
They did, and he's, like, a great counterpoint to, like, the Ray Palmer side. Yeah. Like, yeah. Anyways,
so, and Ray left, so I guess
that's true. Yeah. I guess I don't need that anymore.
So, yeah.
Anyways. So since the Snyder Cut, we had the release the Snyder Cut hashtag, and then we got the Snyder Cut, and then this hashtag became Restore the Snyderverse, and Warner Brothers so far said, no, that's done. He had his trilogy. No, we're done. But Snyder did say...
Indie writer.
Yes.
Chris Terrio. They said, it's like, yeah, if they want us back, we're going to go back. He loves the characters. He loves what he does.
And it shows.
And he's in his out doing interviews and stuff, and he's talking about how he would do this and he would do that. And it's you can tell the guy likes it. It's not like, I mean, he adapted Watchmen, he adapted 300, all comic books, you know.
Mm.
So he at some moment of his life he started reading comic books and he started enjoying it, became a fan. It's not only, you know. Anyways, so he's doing interviews for this new movie, Army of the Dead. Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Mm. Yeah. And people ask about Snyder Cut and all that, and say, yeah, we'll go back. I don't know. If the WB is complicated, hopefully HBO Max executives will say, you know what, screw it, we're gonna do it.
That would actually be pretty cool. That would be pretty cool. But it's also kind of an easy position for Snyder to be in Terrio.
Mm.
Because, I mean, all they have to say is, like, yeah, we'd be willing, and they can be, like, they're the good guys and very popular and have, like, the fan support on their side.
It's not only words, it shows he didn't get paid for the Snyder Cut, you know?
Yeah.
He went back to do the whole thing and, like, not being paid, you know?
He wanted to see his
work then.
I don't question his sincerity.
But...
I guess I just mean, like, it. I mean, I don't know what I mean.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean, I don't know. If it's for sure or not, they are definitely being the bigger man in this story. And ball is on WB's court.
Well, that's a good way to put it. They very successfully, they could just say, like,
yep, send the populace.
We're in.
Send the populace to get them.
Yes. The hashtags are in. Everything, like, yeah, it's all now on WB. Okay, and last but not least, Shazam! Fury of the Gods is just getting better and better. I'm actually kind of worried at this point that I'm, like, too excited about it. But anyway, Lucy Liu has joined the cast.
As a bad guy.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Oh, there was another rumor I didn't put on the script.
Oh, okay.
But there's one that Shazam, Captain Marvel, himself would show up at the end of the movie somehow. I don't know. Since this movie's going to be, like, decades before,
mm-hmm.
it might be some post-credits scene with Shazam looking at him. Or I don't know. Either way. There was actually rumors that Superman would be involved. But in this one, I doubt. Unless the movie is so big, they're gonna go across time from, because I think he's gonna do for the Justice Society of America. Which is historically takes place during World War II.
Yeah.
So yeah.
All right.
Awesome. But yeah, it is exciting. It looks good. They're working on it, and Flash start production too. And yeah.
Okay. So overall, good things.
Oh, there was someone spotted the Batmobile, classic Keaton Burton 1989 Batmobile. So it's like, oh, okay. There's like a kind of evidence that Keaton's still involved. But let's see.
Fingers crossed.
About another quick one about DC. Mm-hmm. The Nighthawks? No, not Nighthawks. Oh my gosh, the. Google that real quick. Is the DC Spielberg movie? Do that.
DC Spielberg.
It's about fighter pilots.
Blackhawks.
The Blackhawk movie it's being adapted by Spielberg and written by David Quip, which is a big name. If you click there, you're gonna see that he did. I'm not gonna show his work.
Okay. Oh, Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Okay.
And they work well together. Anyways, yeah,
Jurassic Park was
And
Spider-Man.
David Quip Twitter. It's like, oh, this is a nice view to work. It was like his computer, and it was like Black Hawk's script.
Secret window.
Working on Black Hawk's script.
Mm-hmm.
Looking to the snow somewhere. And he's like, that's a nice place to work. And he was definitely working on it.
Okay.
And someone tweeted asked him, it's like, so is Spielberg still involved? And he said, yes. It's a good confirmation since, you know, they canceled New Gods,
mm-hmm.
And they canceled the Trench. So at least some of the things they announced a while ago, they're still in the chamber.
Still in the works.
Yeah.
All right. Whew. Anything else?
No. That's all right. It for this week. See you next week with more
pop culture news, and entertainment,
and movies,
reviews,
TVs, games.
Mm-hmm.
No PS5s yet, even though PS5 is already the most sold, the best sold console ever. Even though you can buy one, I can buy one.
But the robots are happy because they bought them.
Yes, I guess they counted the robots. Anyways, that's it. May the force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Bye.
Bye.